It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Welcome in. It is game day. The short week is over, and we're ready for Stullers and Bungles. Don in Cincinnati, the home of the Escaloozer, Paul Brown Paycor Stadium, whatever they want to call it these days. Welcome in, friends, Yinzers, countrymen, to another edition of Kambali and Mac, here to get you ready for Thursday night football. Tonight, the Steelers, a chance to go 5-1 and put an absolute stranglehold on the AFC North. The Bengals, a chance to spoil all that with Joe freaking Flacco at quarterback. And we're going to get the Cincy perspective today. Jay Morrison of BengalsTalk.com and the Growler podcast. He's going to join us to presumably tell us why Skyline Chili isn't trash. I don't know. Cool. Good luck, Jay.
I think we've had that conversation with Jay. I think I've had that. I'm not quite sure if he's a fan or not.
I can't wait. I hope he's not, because I can't wait to find someone from Northern Kentucky who is not a fan.
I think he lives outside of Cincinnati, so maybe he's outside the old box of crapness of food.
The box of crapness. Alongside correspondent for the Pat McAfee Show, Mark Kambali, who will be making the drive down to Cincy as soon as we're done here. I am Chris Mack. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to Southwest Greens for always supporting the show. We appreciate them. No truth to the rumor that Kaboom tried to put out there the other day that they have been called by the Sports and Exhibition Authority to redo the field at Heinz Field, Acrisure. No, they'll do your yard, though. They can handle that. Grass that never needs to be mowed, watered, or fertilized. It's artificial grass, but it looks, feels, acts like real grass. Perfectly fine for you, your family, your pets. In fact, better, because you're not spending all the time, money, and maintenance on a lawn that can take away from what otherwise is a great space for you and your family. Get a hold of Southwest Greens today. Go to southwestgreenspa.com and tell Jake that Kambali and Mac sent you. Kaboom, if it weren't for bad luck, you'd have no luck at all. I think that's how the saying goes. What the hell happened with your car on the Hot Metal Bridge the other day? I should have pulled up the photo that you tweeted out, but I didn't.
Some piece of shiznit, dite, as the boys at McAfee should call it, decided. I mean, you have to be familiar with where the Steelers facility is. You'd make that right into South Water Street, yep, or you go straight across Hot Metal Bridge.
Yes.
Right lane, you have to turn right. Left lane, you go straight. So nobody's ever in a right lane because it's a dead end. It's GPMC, Freddie Foo, whatever, Steelers.
There's not a lot of reasons to go down there. The Spring Hill Suites, the UPMC, like physical therapy rehab place, and the Steelers.
I mean, it gets some traffic, but everybody's going across the Hot Metal Bridge. So I'm driving down to practice, and I'm in the right lane right before the American Eagle outlet or whatever that place is.
Yeah, there are American Eagle headquarters down there.
Doody 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 do in my ghetto car, because the wife has to take the other car to work that day, so I'll take the beater the once a month or once a week or maybe. And as I get right to it, I'm pulling up. There's a big line. Some jamoke decides to go, boom! Slam into the side of me.
Oh my God.
I was like, whoa, what the hell? He pulled out a little bit in front of me. We made eye contact in the mirror, and zam, across the Hot Metal Bridge he went. And I was like, humana, humana, humana.
How early were you for what you needed to do down on the South Side? Did you have any time where you thought to yourself for just a second, or maybe you didn't even think about the time? I know if that happened to me, I would think for a second about going after, driving after that person and following them.
Yeah, but there was such a line on the Hot Metal Bridge that it would have been very hard to get over there without cutting somebody off or hitting somebody. And I'm thinking, oh, maybe the guy would just turn around and come back and try to find me because he knows I'm making a right. So I'm sitting there, nothing. So I'm like, God damn it. This car ain't worth shite.
Yeah.
I should call the cops. I know there's damn cameras somewhere.
Were you close enough to snag the license plate number?
No, I wasn't anticipating. It was just boom and gone. I mean, it is a crime to hit and run, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to call the cops. The hell with him, just to piss him off. Then it was like, light bulb in my head. Bing. I haven't had that car inspected in 2 years.
Oh, that's right. Oh, man. But
what am I going to get, right? I mean, the car is probably worth $800.
And is it just going
to... deductible and whatever. I don't know what it is. It would have been... worthless.
It's worth more dead than alive at this point, the old girl.
Yeah.
And that may have just hastened her demise.
Yeah, I have to go. I mean, just fine. I got to go. I despise looking for a car.
I know, but you need to get it
somebody,
done.
Somebody's telling me.
You have a bunch of people willing to help you.
Yeah, somebody's
willing to help you. I'm willing to help you.
Somebody upstairs is telling me, hey, get rid of this piece of shit. Shite. Right? Was that what they're telling me?
Yes.
Somebody's telling me that.
All the cosmic tumblers are falling into place to send you somewhere to finally get a new vehicle. Finally. Get something worthy of your stature.
You just get done watching Field of Dreams, the cosmic tumblers, and open up and see what the universe is.
Yes. Yes. Well.
It's one thing remained the same. For James Earl Jones, it was baseball.
Baseball.
For me, it was shitty luck.
So this is why you'll be renting a car to drive to Cincinnati this afternoon.
Yeah, I might not get out of freaking Mon Valley if I take that piece of shite. I like saying the word shite today for some reason.
Yeah, you're all over that. Thanks to our friends at Higgins Professional Painting. We appreciate them supporting the show. We've got water stains on the ceiling because our son treats the shower like a damn water park. Kaboom's wife has an office that needs painted. We're going to have them in our home to get work done, our homes. You should have them to yours if you need work done as well. We'll do the drywall repair, interior, exterior painting. They handle all of it like true professionals. They've been in business for 40 years now. Pittsburgh-based and family-run Higgins Professional Painting. They'll do it all for you. The color consultation, if you need one, tell you exactly what may work for your space and get you some fresh curb appeal on that, Haas. Go check them out, HigginsProfessional.com. Get your free estimate. Give them a call, 412-344-0480. We appreciate them supporting the show. Into the business of tonight's game. Found out less than 24 hours ago. Little bit of a surprise, but non-injury related personal issues usually are. Deshaun Elliott did not make the trip to Cincy yesterday with the team. Mm-hmm. So here's my question to you, knowing that it is a personal issue, apparently, without giving anything away before Deshaun Elliott may want to discuss what the issue actually is, if he does. Is there a chance this ends up being like Chris Jones early in the season with the Chiefs, where he arrives to the stadium an hour before the game and runs onto the field ready to play? Or do you think they got to go without him tonight in Cincy?
Yeah, it's popped up at the last moment because nobody really knew anything about it. I don't think he practiced on their only practice day, so nobody really saw him. I mean, if he was out, they would have just ruled him out. So, as Mike Tomlin would say, they left the window open for him, depending on what the personal issue is. And none of us have any clue what it is right now. Sure, I mean, I could see him showing up, depending on if things get worked out situationally wise. He's the type of guy that if anything, if it's possible, if it's likely, he'll show up. If he doesn't show up, it's not because of he didn't want to or anything like that. It's probably pretty significant either milestone in his life or a significant something happening in his life that forced him to miss his game. So I would say, yeah, I would say that, to answer your question, yeah. Or they would have not left, or they would have brought somebody else up for the practice squad.
Well, whatever it is, we hope it all works itself out for Deshaun Elliott, whatever it may be. And furthermore, if he's able to get on the field tonight, all the better. Because look, we just got done talking about Deshaun the other day when we broke down the win over the Browns. And he's been a big part of this since he got inserted back in the lineup. When the defense does not have Deshaun Elliott there in the secondary, they are less versatile. That's one less guy who can come up into the box and support the run defense. It's one less guy to help deep coverage. I mean, he can play literally all over the field. Mm-hmm. And I think it is a pretty big absence if he's not available tonight.
Yeah, it's hard to sit here and speculate what it could be. Obviously, it's big enough that they had to. He didn't travel with the team. I mean, it's. I guess in a way, it's okay or not okay, but it's a little bit better that it's only a couple hour drive. You know, it's not or it's not in like Ireland or Brazil or.
Right, they could get Seattle. Him on a plane and get him down there in about 45 minutes, probably.
Yeah, it could be. You know, definitely, but you know, you have to go to Northern Kentucky and drive an hour there to the stadium, sort of like Pittsburgh. So it might be easier to drive, but we'll see. Like I said, if there's any possibility of him going, he'll be there. And that's why you need to – they always talk about the create the depth issue. You never know when things are going to pop up. I mean, Chuck Clark, Juan Thornhill, obviously going to be a part of this now. I mean, of course, Jalen Ramsey will be a part of this now. I mean, you want Deshaun Elliott on that field, but
yeah.
Nobody's going to sit here and complain that he's not.
Well, like you wrote about yesterday, they built this secondary in the offseason, and bringing back Deshaun Elliott has sort of floated under the radar as one of the moves they made this offseason. But it was a big one early in the offseason that I remember us talking about, because it does. It adds a layer of depth and versatility to a secondary that, like you wrote about, was built to combat a team like Cincinnati. Now, certainly they weren't planning to go up against Joe Flacco or even Jake Browning. They were planning to go up against Joe Burrow, who carved them up pretty good in the second game last year in week 18. But moreover, they're planning to go against Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. Yeah. And without Elliott, like I said, it reduces the amount of versatility you have on the back end. You've still got a relatively healthy Joey Porter. He's back, right? You've still got a relatively healthy Jalen Ramsey, but you know, how much does that hamstring bother him after just a couple days rest? You still got Slay. You still got, like you mentioned, Clark and Thornhill. So they still have the ability.
Yeah.
And who knows, like you said, with Miles Killebrew out, maybe it's a Beanie Bishop thing getting elevated to special teams. And that adds another layer of somebody who can play in a couple different spots in the secondary. I'm not sure what they'll do in that regard, but the point is, you want, like you said, Deshaun Elliott out there, especially against this receiving corps.
Especially, you want to have your full cast of characters for a second straight game here. Like I said, they put together this defensive secondary for a reason. I mean, I remember talking to somebody early in camp saying, you know what, we tried to fool them with some fake looks, but they knew damn well after like a series that we weren't playing the man. You know, we were just going to dump into coverage and they were going to hit those easy passes. And how many times did you see that over the past 2 years at Burrow, just being able to pick him apart underneath with relatively easy throws? And they're hoping that was one of their offseason plans, is to bring in more man corners. Now, I don't know if Jalen Ramsey is going to follow anybody around. I highly doubt it. I think that's a Joey Porter thing. I think that's a Porter Higgins thing again. And you just worry about Chase with, you know, doubling him somehow and let Jalen Ramsey do his thing. I don't want to move Jalen Ramsey, man. He's just been unbelievably productive in that floating around to wherever they need him at.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to just put him up against Jamar Chase and say, stop him. I don't know if I want to do that.
Yeah, I think the better way to say it is, I don't want to change what he's doing, right? Like, he can move. He can move all over the place. We saw him blitz off the corner, off the edge, 2 sacks last week. So let Ramsey do that thing where he's all over the field. It's one more thing for the Bengals with a below-average offensive line and a somewhat immobile quarterback to have to worry about is, where's Ramsey on this play? As opposed to walking to the line and knowing that Ramsey's just lining up across from Chase every single time, which, like you said, doesn't seem realistic. I do wonder, and this is something that people, I'm sure, have in the back of their minds when they think about Flacco, right? Flacco and Aaron Rodgers said it. We'll hear what Aaron Rodgers said about a couple other topics in a second. But Flacco can still make throws. Like, he still does have the arm strength. He still does have some of the accuracy that he had at the peak of his career. He can make the throws that Dillon Gabriel definitely was not making. He can make the throws that Carson Wentz could not make. I'm not saying Joe Flacco can go out there and single-handedly beat the Steelers. Definitely not saying that, especially with the way they've amped up the pass rush and the creativity, more importantly, in the pass rush the last few weeks. But he can still do that Flacco thing where he chucks it up deep and somebody draws a DPI 30 yards downfield.
Yeah, I do believe that, but I also believe that we might be giving him a little bit too much credit. I mean, he's still Joe Flacco that hasn't had a starting job in 8 years now, 7 years, 8 years. So what makes him more difficult to defend is similar to Rodgers between here. I mean, he's a smart individual, been around forever. You're not going to fool him. The problem is, and what did we talk about all offseason with Aaron Rodgers? When's he going to get cohesion with his wide receivers?
Right.
I guess that doesn't apply to Joe Flacco right now, right?
Well, I mean, we'll see. I think it's tough when you come in and you've got to play two games in 5 days immediately right off the bat. It's hard to sit down and get reps in with your guys, even if it's just against air, and to know how exactly they're going to hit their breaks, where exactly they're going to be open if they are, and where you need to put the football.
Just think if we had somebody from Cincinnati to ask about that, how this practice has went for him.
That would be nice, wouldn't it? We'll get Jay Morrison in here in just a couple minutes.
Should we tell him that he was second?
Don't tell Jay. We were planning.
I've known Jay forever. I can.
You suggested earlier in the week we should have Jay on, and it was a great idea. We thought it was going to be yesterday, and so it didn't work out for him. And then we were going to have a special guest today who had something pop up. And so that special guest is now next week, which will be fun. I can't wait to have that person on. So we had to rearrange the deck chairs just a little bit, okay? It happens.
Maybe
Jay's not playing second fiddle here.
People wonder why we don't mention who's going on. I mean, nothing against the person that not coming on now, but sometimes things pop up and you don't want to sit there, either sitting there holding your crotch.
Right? Put your thumb up your butt. Yeah. Now, in defense of our special guest, who again is planning.
Oh, he's a legend. First, he's a legend. And second of all, he's a busy man.
Yeah, he's a busy man who had something pop up this morning that, to be honest, if I had it pop up on my schedule, I'd blow people off too. Anyway. So, yeah, Jay is not playing second fiddle. I think he's just the right person to get a Cincy point of view from on all of this. Thanks to the Dan Heck team for supporting the show. We appreciate them. They've been on board since the very beginning here. We couldn't do this show at the very beginning without the support of the Dan Heck team. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. Make sure you check them out. HeckTeamHomes.com. HAECK. HeckTeamHomes.com. Whether you're upgrading to a bigger home, looking to move to a different part of town, or maybe just downsizing. Hey, it happens. The kids move out. They go to school. You're looking for something different. Whatever it may be, whatever the situation is, they'll help you find the perfect home. The Dan Heck team. HeckTeamHomes.com. HAECK. HeckTeamHomes.com. All right.
Picture I sent you yesterday, by the way?
Which picture?
TJ Wrestling mats.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know what?
How many sports is your kid involved in one time?
I'm trying to get him involved in as much as possible. He didn't really want to do wrestling, but I said, just go to this, and if you might like it, if not, I'll never mention it again.
Did he like it?
All of a sudden, he runs into some of his classmates. And second of all, I said, here's the big thing about doing wrestling. Daddy doesn't know anything about that type of wrestling, so he can't tell you what to do.
So he's just going to sit in the corner and keep his mouth shut.
I'm like, I don't know what this means. I can say, hey, make sure you do this in baseball and football, whatever. Here, I'm like, I don't know what that is. What is that? A rider? I don't know what, huh? But he hasn't made up
riding time. Yet. Yeah,
I don't know, he made up his mind yet. But hey, get him involved. See what he likes. So. That was your neighbor too, huh? Your neighbors are like literally every single person in the district.
We've got a great neighborhood. I don't know what to tell you. So yeah, your son's wrestling coach lives like 5-6 doors down from us.
His baseball assistant coach lives one door down from you. And
no, he's up the hill. Yeah, we get people all
up
over
the hill on that.
Up the hill. Up there. Right. So yeah, here's to the kid. It's good offensive lineman training. I'll say
that's what I'm trying. I'm trying to toughen him up. He's a little bit of a wimp. Well, he's big. He's big for 8 years old. So right. He hasn't really grown into his.
He's a gentle giant at this point.
So I'm like, just smack somebody. How about if it hurts? I'm like, you hurt them before they hurt you.
That's a good thought to put in his head. I like that at this age. Hurt them before they hurt you.
Absolutely.
Sideswipe somebody else on the hot metal bridge before they sideswipe you.
Tony, you want Chris Mack? You're getting full Chris Mack today. I saw somebody bring up Tony Rizzo.
Tony Rizzo, I feel like we should have played some of those clips. Maybe we save them for December when they play the Browns again.
I am absolutely not passionate about anything nearly as much as he is passionate about the Browns.
Between him and Ken Carmen up in Cleveland, I mean, the multiple strokes were had in Northeastern Ohio.
Sometimes I'm jealous because they've been doing it for a long time too, and they're just so passionate about winning and losing. And I'm like, I don't give a shit. Shite.
That's nice. Yeah,
honestly, I don't.
Real nice.
I mean, I don't care if they win or lose. It's just doing it for 25 years. That's,
I think that's ingrained in your mind. It reminded me of the way I felt to an extent, like at the end of last season after the loss to the Ravens. Like, I think they realize. I mean, they're Browns fans. They don't go into the season expecting any kind of deep run, but I think they realized that the final nail had been put in the coffin of this season when they go to Pittsburgh and Myles Garrett doesn't show up and Dylan Gabriel looks like crap and all the stuff that goes on in Cleveland. And so I understand them losing their minds to a certain extent. They'll probably mellow out after this. I mentioned Aaron Rodgers. He spoke the other day. One of the things he was asked about is just physically, he looked to be moving even better this past Sunday than he did the week before that, and the week before that, and the week before that.
I'm kind of going like this body wise. You know, I'm just getting healthier. I had a great break on the bye week. Spending time with my body work guru guy out west, and felt good coming back. I'm going to have to get with them a few more times this season. But I'm feeling like, first couple weeks, I was a little tighter, I felt like, and I'm starting to loosen up and feel a little bit more like myself.
I saw somebody reference earlier in the week the fact that they thought Rodgers was having to move too much. And instantly my response was, well, no. He's not having to move as much as he did early in the season. They're deciding to get him on the move. You look at some of his better throws over the last couple of weeks. He's been on the move for some of them. Hell, you can go all the way back to week one and the play action to Calvin Austin against the Jets. Mm-hmm. He's looking really good on some of those play action bootlegs. He gets out on the move. And I think it's becoming an important part of their offense that Rodgers looks more and more comfortable on the move.
Yeah, I mean, that's you look at Rodgers' career, and he's always been good at that. Getting able to move the pocket. Like you said, he's not moving the pocket because he has to. It's because they want to, and he's able to do it too. It's not like he's sprinting to the right, sprinting to the left. You just move a little bit to the right, a little bit to the left to make those throws on the run. And how can you not bring up the Seattle throw to Freiermuth? I mean, that was on the run, off balance. I mean, he's just been known for that. And I'm going to have to get to with his body guru guy myself or something.
Yeah, I need a body work guru.
Somebody says, yeah, what do you do? Bring him, how do you get him here or something like that?
What do you say, very carefully?
Yeah, he wasn't going to divulge that. Come on now.
Well, I mean, do they have a couple weeks later in the year, don't they, where they have a little, don't they have another Thursday night? No, maybe they don't.
I got Monday and Sundays.
Yeah. So he'll find time to get time in with his body work guy.
Well, they have a Sunday night, a regular, then another Sunday night.
So they've got a Sunday night next weekend against Green Bay, then another Sunday night 2 weeks after that, but it's West Coast, so they won't get back until well into the morning on Monday. And then, yeah, they've got a Monday night against Miami late in the year.
But it's Miami night here
in what will probably be cold temperatures, which just
and the ball will just stick there. How about that real quick? I know probably Jay's going to be coming on soon, but how about the only thing we're bitching about now is the ball, Heinz Field.
Yeah. It's good.
This is how good it's going. We're bitching about the goddamn field. Once again, it's nonstop. It's not like Tomlin's clock management there. Rodgers looks like old. Rooney's this, blah, blah, blah. It's we're talking about the field. And once again, I like to reiterate people to say that the Rooneys are cheap because of that field. It's not their responsibility.
Well, I do think that if the Rooneys – if the Rooneys encourage the Sports and Exhibition Authority to do a better job with the field, that would carry
maybe
a lot of weight.
Maybe it's just a hiccup. Honestly, I looked, you know, if all things were wrong last night, was Pitt Louisville, right? Was that their last home game?
Yeah.
And the field was getting a little crunchy then, too. It wasn't nowhere near what it was the other day.
Right, but you shouldn't look at a field when the college team is playing on it, and we'll set aside the whole argument that Tone made, that Big Ben made, that I made about how the two of them playing on the same surface is silly at this point in this day and age. Let's set that aside for just a second. Let's assume you do want to move forward with both teams playing on the same surface all fall. Right. And people are immediately going to say they do it in Miami. They do it here. They do it there. Well, first of all, it's Miami. They don't deal with the weather that we do here. Philadelphia is another place that people bring up because Temple plays at the Link, but they've got a different surface at the Link. That's like a hybrid artificial natural surface. It's not all natural grass. So let's set that aside and just talk about having a college team play on the same surface that you play on. The maintenance and upkeep needs to be better. When you see the effects of four or five straight games on the grass at Heinz Field being what they are, you need to plan to replace it more often then. I know they replace it, what, two or three times a year now. Yeah. Do it more often then.
Normally they do in between the numbers, then they do it after the high school games. I think that's the two times they do it.
And that one traditionally has a harder time holding because by then you're talking about colder temperatures and all that stuff. I don't know who the head groundskeeper is at Heinz Field, but do a better job.
But can't you just give him a pass for once? Because, I mean, I pulled out a picture from 8 years ago, basically on that same date, and that field was pristine.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
it's
like
been
to know
very bad
games-
weather.
I'd love to know how many games had taken place on that field at that point in time.
Well, I'm sure very similar. I didn't look at that. I just think that if it continues to happen, then okay, then you have an issue. We got to deal with it. I think it's a one-time thing right here, and I think the no weather and no rain in 6 months hurt. Maybe something else happened.
My
to
neighbor
it that
waters his lawn five times a something. Week. If he's got the hoses and the sprinklers to take care of his backyard, I think they got it at Heinz Field.
Something must have happened. I'm saying it was a mistake, I think. I believe it was a mistake. If it continues to happen, then you got a problem. If it's a one-off, okay. Everybody makes a mistake. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, but
it's not like this field has been good. This field has been very good for 10, 15 years now.
But you can't afford a mistake when it gets guys in a multi-billion-dollar industry.
That's
injured.
Why you're hearing so much chirping. We heard it after the game Sunday. And you don't see guys like Tomlin, Rodgers, Hayward coming out and publicly announcing this field. It's all because of Miles Killebrew getting injured.
Right.
And rightfully so. I mean,
what if that weren't Miles Killebrew? What if it was Aaron Rodgers? What if it was Jalen Ramsey? What if it was TJ Watt?
My point is just give the guys or whoever it is a benefit of the doubt. We don't have total information. Maybe somebody broke in and threw bleach everywhere, right? I don't know. It happened once.
We've been dealing with it for 25 years with this damn field.
No, you've only dealt with it now. It's been fine since they went to full grass because they kept doing the resodding, which cost an arm and a leg.
I think that the point here is I think the Roonies can afford to break off a little something to resod the field more often. I understand it's not their property, but they are the primary tenant.
But you know, what could have happened too was they could have said, oh, shoot, this thing does need resodded between here. We weren't going to do it till next week. But the farm in New Jersey is having a drought too, so we can't get any grass in here. I mean, there's so many things we don't know.
It's the only field, aside from Soldier Field in Chicago, which is usually a dumpster fire too, it's the only field in the NFL that we're routinely talking about. I wouldn't say year after year, but it comes up pretty regularly.
When was the last time it came up?
I don't know, because it happens so often, I don't write it down on a calendar.
It hasn't.
Okay.
Well, the practice
field. You got a brother or a cousin or something that works for the sports?
No, I'm just saying, we're going crazy over one potential mistake. I don't know, maybe.
Ask Miles Killebrew about how crazy he's going over that.
I'm not saying that it was an unfortunate situation. What I'm saying is we're moving Pitt to freaking Oakland and firing everybody.
Moving the Highmark Stadium.
Over one
thing. They got like 10,000 seats there now, right?
Was that for Pitt?
Sure.
Aren't they going to add more seats? I thought they were.
Yeah, perfect. Great view of the city.
Well.
Always sold out.
Those H2P guys, it's at Chris Mack.
The Chris Mack, yeah.
At the Chris Mack, yeah.
All right, let's get a Cincinnati perspective on things where they don't have to worry about the grass at all because they got turf. Jay Morrison. All right, here we go.
Jay!
Despite the fact that he knew Kabali was going to be here, he decided to join us anyway. BengalsTalk.com, at by Jay Morrison on your social media. Go check out his feed on the Growler podcast as well, where all the Cincy guys get together to talk about the Bengals and Skyline Chili and whatever else they love. And that's the first important question here, Jay. Kabali and I were talking about it. Are you a Skyline Chili aficionado, or do you recognize, like people outside of southwestern Ohio and northern Kentucky, that it's trash?
Well, first of all, I'm on Chris's side on the field debate here. It seems like it's just because the Bengals go to Pittsburgh every December, but that field has been awful for a long time.
Jay.
Just put turf down. And yes, I had three cheese conies at Skyline last night. So I do like Skyline. It's like coffee. It's like beer. It's one of those things where it is an acquired taste. And that's why people from out of town don't like it, because they come in, they try it once, like, nope, that's not for me. But for people that live here and you eat it, it just becomes part of the fabric. And I enjoy it. I eat it at home. We get canned Skyline, and we'll make stuff here at home from time to time.
So, like us putting coleslaw on our sandwiches.
Kaboom. I just vomited in my mouth. Do you put the 6 pounds of cheese on top, Jay?
No, I get the cheese on the side, because I do think there's too much cheese. That's a little too much. So I put my own portion on.
And what's up with the mini hot dogs at the stadium?
Here we go. Kabali's
that's how they sell it at Skyline.
Really? The real mini ones?
Yeah. What's up Skyline, with that? Yeah, it's the mini ones. I don't know why. Cheaper, I guess, but.
All right. Well, let's focus on football for a couple minutes at least before Kabali gets back to complaining about Paul Brown Paycor Stadium. What's the reaction to the deal for Flacco? Obviously, we know Mike Tomlin's not a fan, but what's the reaction in Cincinnati? And just, I guess, not just the Flacco deal, but the fact that it's another year where Burrow gets hurt for a good length of time, and the Bengals, it's that age-old argument, offensive line versus weapons. They've invested in the weapons, but maybe haven't invested in the offensive line in the same way, and we're talking about working with a backup quarterback yet again.
Yeah, so that's kind of like three different prongs there. So the initial reaction to Flacco was just shuffling decks, chairs on the Titanic. Nobody thought this was going to do anything. It was pointless. And I think he won some people over last week. I think the way they played in that second half against Green Bay and got things going, it looked so much different. It wasn't against Detroit when they had that great fourth quarter with Jake Browning. That was just kind of a cosmetic comeback. The Lions had one foot in the shower. That game was over. This was different at Green Bay, and it did feel like they really did find something there. Going back to, so I do think that Flacco has won some of the fan base over. Going back to the Burrow issue, that is where I think a lot of fans are frustrated, and it's kind of split. Kind of half of it is Burrow's just injury prone. He brings this upon himself, and then half is organizational malpractice, where they are not spending the money or the draft picks to get guys to protect him. But it's one of those things where you go back to it, none of his injuries have been the result of pounding after pounding after pounding. They weren't cumulative effects. They were plays that a guy that could be the best protected quarterback in the league, that play happens and the injury occurs. And the one he got hurt on this time, it was a quick game. He was supposed to fire a quick shot out. The Jacksonville DB jumped the route. He pulled it down and he tried to make too much happen. The offensive line wasn't ready for that play to be extended that long. And just an unfortunate tackle, and the turf toe happened. So it is a little bit of everything there. I think there's blame on the organization. I think there's some blame on the play calling for dropping him back to pass as much as they do, but he has kind of that superpower and they want to lean in and use their best weapon the most. And then part of it is on Burrow for extending plays. He makes a lot of magic happen on extending plays, but he also takes a lot of hits because of it. So it's 33. It's a third, a third, a third when you're assigning blame.
Of course, you know, Al Golden from his time previously in Cincinnati. Do you think that he's been put in a tough situation to win here just with the talent that they have surrounded him or has not surrounded him with since he's was hired here in January?
Again, this is a before and after kind of question. He is in an absolute tough spot right now because the offense has been so trash. It is really like he came here with, oh, you're going to get Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, and all you have to do is be in the top 20 in the league, and this team's going to flourish. That's not the case now. This offense has been so bad. They need that defense to be better and carry them a little bit, and it's just not happening. And even when they do play well, the offense is, they haven't scored a touchdown in the first half in four straight games. When your defense is out there that much, defenses are going to wear down. I don't care who you're playing against. And we've seen that where this defense has done a pretty decent job in first halves. And then they just get worn down. Now, Green Bay was a little different because the Bengals get a long drive to end the half. You get a 12-minute halftime, a 3-minute warm-up, and then the Bengals go 17 plays over 10 minutes for a touchdown drive to start the second half. That defense should have been plenty rested, and every time the Bengals scored, the defense turned around and gave up another score. The Bengals would score to make it a one score game. The defense would turn around, give up a touchdown to make it a two score game again. So last week was a little bit more on the defense. I always felt like it was going to take about this point in the season, about the first 6 weeks to kind of fit for Al to kind of figure out what he had, what he wanted to do. We've seen him pivot. He was not blitzing at all the first 3 weeks. They were by far the lowest blitz percentage team in the league. They've ramped it up a little bit. They're still last 3 weeks kind of middle of the pack. But it just feels like they're pressing. They have to. The defense has to kind of make something happen because the offense is doing nothing. And, again, I think that second half at Green Bay, when you saw the offense come to life a little bit, that's going to give this a little breath of fresh air to this defense. And they can maybe finally get to playing that complimentary football that they always talk about.
Are they going to have Trey Hendrickson available tonight, as far as you know, Jay? And how will that affect what you were talking about with how they try to pressure Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, I think they'll have him. He might be on a pitch count. It might be one of those things where he tries to go and he just can't. But almost always when a guy's listed as questionable for this team, at least, they end up playing. And so it's a huge game. I think it's crazy to say must win in October, but this is a must win for the Bengals. I mean, you fall 3.5 games behind the Steelers, they can just write it off. So I do think that Trey's going to get in there, try to go, see if he can. He's played through really bad back injuries in the past. That Super Bowl run, the back was killing him, and he was pulling himself out at times. So he's got a good high pain tolerance. I think he's going to try to make it go. They've got a a big addition. They have no pass rush without Trey Hendricks, and that's what's concerning. But you, the first-round pick, Shamar Stewart, the rookie defensive end from Texas A&M, he got hurt in that Jacksonville game in week two, hasn't played since. He's coming back. He's been a full participant all week in practice. Al Golden came out and said on the record, he's going to play, and he's going to play a lot. He's going to be a big part of this game. So getting him back and then having him on the opposite side of Trey on third downs, a lot of times they'll move Shamar Stewart inside, let him rush from the tackle spot. They need to generate some sort of pass rush because the secondary is actually playing pretty well. And then the question that is big in Cincinnati this week, they benched Logan Wilson. So they are now starting two rookie linebackers, and it showed that they were rookie linebackers last week against Green Bay. Maybe that's why they made the move then, get Barrett Carter, the fourth-round pick's feet a little wet, and then get him ready for this game against Pittsburgh. Demetrius Knight, the rookie second-round pick, has started every game this year, but now you got two rookies in there, and that is a big risk.
Yeah, the Bengals did a pretty good job protecting Flacco. I'm not quite sure if that was Flacco or if that was the offensive line, but it seems like to me those two tackles have struggled this year creating pressure, and of course you got Herbig, Highsmith, Watt. How big of a factor is that in this game coming up in your mind?
It's huge because, like you said, Orlando Brown has not looked like himself. And, you know, he was playing through some injuries last year. I don't know if they're still bothering him, but it's a lot of times when Orlando looks really bad, it's on the road. And it's when they're going to the silent count and they're letting the play clock go down to one, two, and the defensive ends can jump the snap. They know when it's coming because of the play clock, and that's when you see him get blown by. It's been a little different at home, so I think they're banking on that a little bit. But Amarius Mims, he left that Green Bay game with an ankle injury, missed a series, but he did come back, and he did practice all week, so they'll get him back. Again, he's a young guy. He's their first-round pick last year, still kind of learning. Physically impressive, but technique wise, he's still got a ways to go. So that is a big issue. A lot of the problems in the past with Burrow was the pressure up the middle. But now with this Steelers defense, you really worry about what's coming off the edge. And talking about up the middle, you might have two rookie guards starting. The Dylan Fairchild's been the starter all year at left guard. He missed last week because he's got a knee injury, but he was a full participant all week this week. And they got Jalen Rivers, their fifth round pick, because Lucas Patrick got hurt and Dalton Risner got hurt. So he's been starting the last couple of weeks, and he's had his moments. He's looked like a rookie at times, but you can see the improvement. He's really starting to move people in the run game, but it's not ideal when you've got two struggling tackles and two rookie guards, and then, you know, just kind of an average center in Ted Karras in the middle.
Do you think they have any confidence in their ability to run against the Steelers after seeing the way the Steelers defense wrapped up last season and started this year? Give up a ton of rushing yards in the first couple of weeks. They've fixed that, or at least appear to have fixed that, the last couple of weeks against Cleveland and Minnesota. But if they're looking for some sort of balance on offense, Jay, in order to keep that pass rush off of Flacco and off of that offensive line, do they have a level of confidence in Chase Brown and P. Ryan to be able to move the ball on the ground?
Yeah, I think they do. The confidence in Chase Brown was sky high. Like every coach was talking about, they expected this to be a breakout year for that guy. And he worked so hard in the offseason. You can tell he's just redone his body. He looks really impressive. In camp, he looked impressive. Nobody's tackling in camp, but still it looked like he was ready to really take off and have a great year. It's interesting that they do need to get more balance. And I think they tried at Green Bay. Joe Flacco was under center a lot. This team almost never goes under center, 'cause that's kind of what Burrow, he wants to see the field, and he just doesn't like to turn his back to the defense. So they're always a shotgun team. They started leaning into that, but the first half was just a mess. They couldn't get anything going. And then the last drive before halftime, they were backed up in their own end. They ran a toss sweep to Chase Brown, 13-yard gain, longest run of the year for this team. Previous long was 12 to Samaje Perine on like a 3rd-and-25 draw. So they kept going back to that. And they did find something in the running game. They just couldn't really lean into it because, like I said before, in the second half, they were down by two scores every time they got the ball, and they were in pass mode. But I do think that is going to be a big part of the game plan going in this week, is getting Flacco back under center, leaning into the play action, and then hopefully that opening up some stuff for Jamar and T down the field. And Flacco's just so good at processing and getting the ball out quick. Going back to Mark's question about the O-line, they did protect better, but a lot of that was Flacco, if the first read's not there, throwing it away or checking it down.
Jay, what's the talk about in Cincinnati about Jalen Ramsey over here in Pittsburgh? Not quite sure if he's going to just match up with Jamar Chase, or they're going to double him or what, but has there been any chatter amongst the coaching staff, the players, of what type of player he still remains?
No, and it's, but you know how this goes. This is such a short week. Yeah. It was all Flacco talk this week, and then the Logan Wilson benching. That's been the, we had one open locker room, and it's just, it's, yeah, it's been tough to get that kind of info. You know, it's funny because Jamar and Jalen Ramsey could have been two of the players in one of the most famous plays in NFL history. If you go back to that Super Bowl game, the 4th-and-1, when they went to it, and Jamar had Jalen Ramsey beat. And if Joe Burrow throws a go ball on 4th-and-1 in the final minute to win the Super Bowl, Jalen Ramsey and Jamar Chase would be in history forever together. But, of course, the O-line didn't protect. Burrow got hit, couldn't get that throw off, even though he had Jamar wide open. They faced Jalen Ramsey a lot. Everybody's faced Jalen Ramsey a lot. He's old, but I'm curious. Are they gonna let him go one on one with either one of these guys, or are they gonna play a lot of zone? Teams don't tend to play a lot of man against the Bengals because T and Jamar can really burn them. So it's gonna be interesting to see how Jalen holds up if they do try to go man to man.
I know I asked you earlier, Jay, about the sort of vibe around the city and amongst the fans towards Flacco in particular, but just about the team as a whole with the Steelers coming in. Like, we're coming off of Browns week, and every game against the Steelers for the Browns and their fans is kind of like a Super Bowl, since they don't actually go to them, taking shots at Cleveland while they're not even here to defend themselves. But what's the feeling down there with the Steelers coming in on a short week, and maybe the ability, like you said, to claw back into the race in some way with an upset win, or just kind of blow things up for the Steelers, who seem to be figuring some things out over the final few weeks? Is there an energy in Cincy about this game tonight?
I don't know if there's an energy. I think it's more dread. I think more fans are thinking, oh, this is it. This is going to be the nail in the coffin. The diehards are, of course, going to be thinking there's a chance. And, you know, the Bengals have played 4 of their first 6 on the road. They're coming home. They are generally pretty good on these Thursday night games. And the Steelers have been really bad on Thursday night games. So I do think there's always an energy when you're going to be on national TV, and especially they're doing the stunt, you know, the white Bengal, where they're wearing the white helmets, the white jerseys, everybody's asked to wear white. I said on our podcast, it's not going to be a whiteout. It's going to look like a Dalmatian, because there are going to be a lot of Steelers fans in black in that stadium. So I don't think the stunt's going to work, just like the Stripe the Jungle didn't work a couple weeks ago. It was supposed to be every other section was orange or black, and there was a lot of blue with the Detroit Lions. It kind of messed that up. So I think if they win this game, if they beat Pittsburgh, I think they win a lot of people back over. It just, number one, the math. The difference between 1.5 games out of first versus 3.5 is huge. The understanding that you're 2-0 in the division, the chance that you see Flacco came in and won a game against a quality opponent. Even if the offense doesn't look good, if they can win a low scoring game, which I think it will be a low scoring game, if the defense looks good and holds down the Steelers, I think it'll pump some juice into this fan base, especially with the next two games being against the Jets and the Bears at home and a real chance to get back in the race.
Yeah, you shouldn't have brought up whiteout, because Mac went to Penn State, and we know what last time happened there. You know what happened last time they had a whiteout over there at Penn State.
Why you got to do that?
Well, Jay,
I'm an Ohio State fan. I'm very upset that they fired James Franklin.
Yeah, you should be.
Maybe they'll take Heartline, so we'll see. Maybe. I was wondering if you heard anything, how they got Flacco. Did they call up Cleveland, or did Cleveland say, hey, man, you want Flacco? Have you heard any rumors around the building of who did the initial call or who was looking for what?
It was the Bengals. They made a list of guys they thought would be good fits. And, you know, there's younger guys out there. There's you know, Jameis Winston was one of the ones they were interested in. There were guys that are on practice squads. Sam Howell was one they were looking at. The one thing they wanted was someone that had played recently, and Flacco fit that bill with 4 starts. You know, he's coming in fresh. You know, Zach Taylor talked about that they were surprised at how quickly he picked things up. And then they realized that Alex Van Pelt was here when Zach first got here, and he left to go to Cleveland to be their offensive coordinator. And a lot of the verbiage translated. And so they were really impressed with how smoothly that Flacco picked everything up, and just being a veteran that's seen and done everything, that kind of led to that too. But yeah, it was the Bengals that went on the search. They knew it was not tenable to stick with Jake Browning. Just a really poor stretch of three starts. And, I think they probably were maybe a little surprised that Cleveland was willing. I mean, I think they knew that Cleveland would be looking to move Flacco, but trading in the division is always kind of strange. And the Bengals hadn't done it since 1973. And that was, they didn't even get a player then. The last time they acquired a player in the division was 1972. So I think they called up just as a flyer. And then when Cleveland was willing, the Bengals were very happy.
How did I know if there was a stat like that, you would know that, Jay?
Oh yeah, well, the player they acquired in division, the last in division trade, was Charlie Joyner, who went on to make the Hall of Fame. So maybe Flacco's headed to Canton.
Hey, he is elite.
Elite, yeah. Is there a hope? I know you mentioned the difference between 3.5 games out in the division and 1.5 out. An upset win over the Steelers, like you mentioned, would mean two division wins. Is there a hope there that if Burrow can get back before mid-December, looking at the rest of the schedule, if they can just tread water and stay in the conversation, that Burrow could be back for, you know, especially those final three games? I mean, Miami, Arizona, Cleveland. If they're within shouting distance there and they get Burrow back, that they could still sneak back into this thing? Is it just sort of a lot of, you know, saying your rosaries and hoping that he gets healthier faster than maybe some people expect?
I think there's a lot of hope that if Flacco can have them just kind of treading water and be around 500, and then it would be mid-December, the initial timeline on Burrow. So maybe get back for the last three regular season games. And even if it's a little beyond that, if they can stick around, I mean, this AFC is so bad. I think a 9-8 is probably going to be the number 7 wild card. If they can just sneak into the playoffs and then have Burrow come back. There's absolutely optimism. There's optimism that Burrow can be available. I still think the optimism is a little tempered if, whether Flacco can get them in position for it to matter if Burrow comes back.
Well, Jay, you know, you're on podcasts of your own. You've been on other people's podcasts. So, of course, people have asked you about your prediction.
Yeah.
I'm not breaking any news here with asking you for your prediction. Who wins this one?
Like I said before, I think it's low scoring. I think it's kind of ugly. I'm the must win nature for the Bengals, and the fact that they're at home, and the fact that Pittsburgh has been so bad. I don't know if you saw, it's an alternate universe on Thursday nights. I went back to 2012, which is when the NFL started doing Thursday night games every single week. And the Cleveland Browns are the best Thursday night team in football at 9-3. And the Pittsburgh Steelers are next to last at 4-10. It makes no sense. Bengals are right in the middle at 6-6, but they always seem to play well in primetime at home recently. And I just think the gotta have it nature, the optimism from Flacco last week is going to be just enough to put them over the top. And I'm going to roll it back to week 18 last year and go with the same exact score, because I think the game is going to look the same. And I'm going Bengals 19, Steelers 17.
All right.
Can I throw at you that the Steelers have won 18 of their last 22 at Cincinnati?
Yeah, that was the Marvin Lewis stat. Marvin Lewis
It's nice to have Marvin in your back.
Which is funny. Some people call Mike Tomlin the new age Marvin Lewis.
Yeah. He did win a Super Bowl.
It's been a while, but yeah, he did. Hey, we appreciate the time this morning, man. Thanks for doing it. We'll check you out for everything we need to know in Cincy today, and of course throughout the rest of the season at By Jay Morrison. Check him out, BengalsTalk.com, and he is a part of that Growler podcast as well. We appreciate it, man. Thanks for doing it today.
Thanks, guys.
See you in a couple hours. See
ya. Jay Morrison, who's been covering the Bengals for years, joining us here on Kabali and Mac. We appreciate him taking the time. I mean, there's some guarded optimism there, Kaboom.
Well, of course.
What is on your hand?
It's a sock.
I don't even want to know.
I don't know. The kid left a sock here.
I don't even want to know.
Hey, man, my house is full of just socks all over the floor. So it's just
ours.
I wouldn't be
ours
surprised.
Is similar.
Yeah, it's just like
boys this age, they just leave them all over the place wherever they take them off.
Yeah,
and they all have holes in them. If you're looking for a place to watch the game tonight, head to Archie's. Kaboom, he'll be down in Cincinnati. I'll be on my cotch. But Archie's, of course, 80 Cent Wing Nights Monday through Thursday nights. Pittsburgh's best place for food, drinks, and sports. Great menu, great sandwiches, burgers, flatbread pizzas, too. The wings are always fresh, always delicious. We had a field trip there last Friday night. It was great to see Arch. We got to appreciate him for his support of the show. Get down there if you're looking for the best place to watch the game tonight. Archie's on Carson in the south side. Get a couple ice cold irons and IC lights and hopefully watch the Stillers take care of business against the Bungles. I wanted to play another clip from Rodgers before we get ready to wrap up here, because it's back to something we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, and I'm beating a dead horse because I've talked about it for a long time. You brought it up during the offseason. He was asked about Darnell Washington.
I like the progression. You know, we haven't didn't get him involved a lot in the first few weeks, but we started working in some of our big personnel sets with him and Spence on the same side. And I thought we had some nice wrinkles last week to get him more opportunities, but he's a smart player. He's very athletic for a man of his size. And it was fun to see him get some opportunities on Sunday.
I think it's going to be interesting to see how much they roll it out. I know we debated how effective they can be with it for a long period of time, but how often they roll out the jumbo, the Isley's package again, the jumbo with Spencer Anderson and Darnell Washington lined up next to each other. And if they try to use that as a way to attack the Bengals, but this is a different team up front than the Browns or the Vikings too. Like, I don't know if you need to give as much help to your tackles other than maybe getting a hand on Trey Hendrickson occasionally.
Yeah, I don't think you want to get rid of it. I mean, I think that's still a big part of your scheme that has worked the past couple of weeks, and it is a four down line in front. So, you know, as Mike Tomlin says, I haven't hid the fact that what we use him for. So that's saying that he should use him some. So I wouldn't stop that. I just, like I keep saying, I think just they need to somehow incorporate Freiermuth more into the game plan, even off the jumbo size, the Anderson mm-hmm. in Washington. That's the next step I'm looking for right now. So, yeah, I think they'll definitely stick with it. I mean, I think they are finding an identity, even though some people – you talk about identity and they look at you like you're crazy, like it means nothing. But this team wants to be a physical team now, and they've had some success doing it. So I don't know why you go away from it right now. Not completely. Maybe pull back a little, but I would probably set the tone early with those guys.
Yeah, I don't think you try to fix what ain't broke. And it's not broken at all. It's worked really well the last 2 weeks, the last two games. So I'd continue to use, especially if they want to continue whatever growth they've seen in the run game. I think it's an opportunity to do just that against a Bengals defense that, let me see here, rushing yards per game, they have given up the third most in the AFC.
Yeah, their defense bottom is really five bad. Their defense is really bad number-wise across the board. I mean, when you're benching Logan Wilson, who I thought 2 years ago was going to be a stalwart or a fix of that defense for a decade. Damn, that's not a good sign if you're the Bengals.
No, they've got issues at every level of the roster. And like Jay said, there's maybe a little bit of hope there that Flacco can just keep them treading water and right on the edge of the wild card discussion until Burrow gets back.
But so much in advantage of the Steelers right now, it's almost scares you if you're a fan. I mean, I don't know how Mims or Brown's going to cover or stop the pass rush. I mean, that's all they do is give up pressures on the outside, and the Steelers had 16 quarterback hits, hurries, 6 sacks last week alone.
Yeah, I think this is, not to look at it through black and gold colored glasses, but I think it's another big week for the pass rush, whether it's TJ or Highsmith or Herbig, who
you got two rookie guards potentially.
Oh. Yeah, and the one thing I hope they do is continue to get creative with the pressure. Yeah. Like, if you can be successful just doing your standard pass rushes and letting TJ and Highsmith get in off the edge, that's great. But when they bring Queen in unexpectedly, when on a blitz, when they bring Jalen Ramsey unexpectedly, or if Deshaun Elliott plays, any, or they throw Herbig out there with both of those guys at the same time, any of that stuff, I think, is key to putting Flacco on his butt tonight. What are you laughing at?
The last comment. Come on, put it up. LOL? Put it up there. What?
The LOL from Steelers Love?
I got one from John Vaders. Said, hey, Chris, put a hat on for Christ's sake. Oh, yeah. It's all fun and games when they make fun of me. See, you don't pop that up on there, that little box.
I didn't see it. Hold on. I'll put it up there. There it is.
There you go.
Just trying to add to the lighting. The reflection adds to the lighting.
Maybe we should change your bet to you just shave the rest of your hair.
Just shave the rest of my head? I mean, that probably needs to be done anyway, whether I win the picks competition or not. Thanks to our friends at Impact HVAC. When it gets too cold in the house because I ain't got any hair on top of my head, I call Impact. They'll do a furnace check right now, too. Hold on. Let me get John's comment off the screen here.
No. Get up there the rest of the day. I get ripped on constantly. It's okay for me to get ripped on. Okay.
Yeah, well, it's more fun, I think. I don't mind being ripped on. Look, there's not a lot going on up here. So
ain't that the truth? I mean, there too.
Yeah. Anyway, whatever, buddy.
I got you rattled. I love it.
You do. Thanks to Impact HVAC for supporting the show. We appreciate them. You can get a furnace check right now for
Cold this morning. Woo!
Yeah, they'll do your furnace check, which is usually like $80 for the season before you got to fire it up. They'll do it for $40, $39.99 if you donate any new unwrapped toy or children's clothing item. And then they make sure that gets passed along to, I believe it's called Foster Project, to help families with foster children. So Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook, you can message them there or give them a call directly, 412-297-1852. Get the furnace checked out before you got to start running it. Technically a four head, not quite a five head yet, is it?
Depends on what fingers. Hey, I finally got it this morning. Hey, it's too cold here. Can we turn on the furnace? No.
Yeah, my wife wants to turn on the fireplace. And I'm like, we're not quite there yet. We're not quite there. I kind of look like a bald eagle, Dale. Really?
I like it. It's keep up the nose, Mac. Too? Keep up the Mac ripping on. Let's keep going. Let's keep doing it.
All right. Let's wrap it up so you can go get your rental car and drive to Ohio. Let's make official picks here.
Two roads to get into Cincinnati.
Yeah, make a left, make a right, and you're there. Jay has the Bengals pulling off the upset. What about you, Kaboom? What do you got?
I like the Steelers, relatively simple. You know, toe-to-toe, Bengals have no chance. None. It's going to have to be one of those cliche games for the Steelers to lose this game. Turnovers, a lot of turnovers, a lot of mistakes. Mm-hmm. I don't see that in them. I think they will finally play with their best game of the season. I'm saying 31-14.
31-14. You got basically a rot.
They're just hammering you now.
Mac is going as Eagly for Halloween.
I'll tell you one thing. It's the last time he doesn't wear a hat during a podcast.
No. So, Hoder Bossman.
Just grab the Icy Light hat.
I'm letting it go now. It's too late.
Grab the Icy Light hat.
Use less greasy, shiny, wet hair product. It'll make it look thicker with the dry stuff. Hoder Boss Man, I've tried that. I've tried all the things, man. It is what it is at this point, okay? I'll wear a hat tomorrow when we do a little post-game breakdown of this one. I'm going to go with Steelers 27-13. Not quite as big a win as you have. You got them by 17. I got them by 14. I just think they're going to wreak havoc on Flacco. I think we're talking another handful of sacks.
I think they're very confident after last week, after Minnesota. I think that plays a part into it as well.
Yeah, I think.
And I think we're overestimating Flacco's ability too.
I think that's part of it. Maybe
I'll sit here tomorrow and say I'm eating crow and Flacco's still a solid player, but I think we're overestimating. We're thinking we're getting 2010 Baltimore Flacco, and he hasn't been around for other than maybe a game or two in the playoffs with Cleveland.
Well, he did it to the Steelers last year, right?
No, in that India. Game was already 14-0.
Yeah, but I mean,
or 10-0.
I think the important thing to remember with Flacco is I don't think he's going to make the same kind of miss. He's not going to have the same kind of misses or make the same kind of mistakes that Dylan Gabriel made a week ago. So even if they get the same level of pressure on him that they got on Gabriel last week, or even Wentz the week before that, 2 weeks before that, I don't think Flacco has the same kind of accuracy issues and will not make the same kind of mistakes that both of those guys made. So I don't know if they'll have as many opportunities to turn Flacco over as they did Gabriel, for example. They could have had 5 or 6 turnovers again last week, yeah, and they didn't capitalize on them. I think Flacco will be a little more careful with the football, but I still don't think he's going to have any time to get it out.
Well, you know, he is 6'5", so he shouldn't have to worry about balls getting batted in his face like 5'1" Dylan Gabriel. So that's an advantage to him.
I know a couple people have said in the comments that they expect a big DK game tonight. That could be the case. I think we get a big Darnell game. I think we see continued growth from Darnell Washington.
I think maybe we see a touchdown. Jalen Warren game.
Okay.
I keep hammering Jalen Warren, big Jalen Warren game.
I wouldn't mind seeing that. Get the ball back with like 7 minutes in the fourth quarter and just grind it out. Mm-hmm. Shut it down. Sound good? You get home early, maybe?
There's no such thing. What time's the game start? 8:15? I don't even know.
Yep, 8:15. So the Escalooser will be running by about 10:30.
I'll probably be back upstairs around midnight, get to the hotel around 2.
Full disclosure for everybody that is used to us doing the post game right after Kaboom gets back up from the press box. We're not doing that at like 1 a.m. today.
Yeah.
We'll do it tomorrow when Kabali gets back from Cincinnati. Probably around lunchtime, like 12:30, 1 o'clock-ish.
Because, I mean, I don't sleep very much, so I'll probably go to bed at 3, wake up at 6, and on the road at 7, so something like that.
All right. So we'll get a post-game breakdown in tomorrow afternoon, right around lunchtime or so, and talk about whatever goes down tonight. Got to thank everybody for supporting the show and taking shots at my hair or lack thereof. Also, all of our sponsors. Maybe I could get a hair plug place. Maybe that's what I should look into. Hair transplants, and they can be a sponsor. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Well, you get a car sponsor to sponsor me a car. You get a hair plug sponsor to sponsor your plugs.
We'll work on all of it. We'll be back tomorrow afternoon to break down the Steelers and Bengals. Chip, we just said we both got the Steelers by at least 2 touchdowns.
Make sure you go back and watch the whole show. And
yeah, go to YouTube. Make sure you're subscribed if you've watched it on.
Yeah, you got to win this god darn Will Hodge helmet or this Stone Cold Steve Austin. And why don't you fools out there subscribe to Instagram and go get some Yolis?
Yeah.
If not, I'm going to use it.
We're down to like the last 40 followers on Instagram before we'll do the drawing for the $100 Yolis gift certificate there. And down to like the last, let me do some quick math in my head, 160 or so subscribers on YouTube. If you haven't already, go do it now.
I'm going to throw something in there. We get the, let's do this.
Well, our magic number for the next giveaway is 3,008.
No, I'm talking about the Yolis. How many you need? 40?
We're at like 460 followers on Instagram. We said 500.
Okay. Is 40 too much in a 24-hour span?
I don't think so.
We get the 500 tomorrow. I'll throw in a case of mango, baby.
Wow. All right.
Case of mango, baby.
All right. A case of mango to go with your $100 Yolis gift certificate if we get to 500 Instagram followers by the time we start tomorrow's show. How about that?
Sounds good to me.
All right. Not for all Ians, just for the one name that we pull.
Yeah, and you have to be above 21.
Kaboom's not buying 500 cases of mango.
Quit ripping on my car. Start ripping on him again. I probably should get to Cincinnati knowing the game starts in about 9 hours.
Yeah, you should go. We'll do it again tomorrow afternoon to break everything down. Thanks to all Ians for joining us. Thanks to Jay Morrison of BengalsTalk.com as well. Go check out the Growler podcast as well. We'll see Ians tomorrow, hopefully after a Steelers dub.